Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. On today's episode, we are going to recap the midweek matches, 4 games, 8 teams, the matches that were rescheduled from October 1st and October 2nd weekend. And we will also preview the full weekend ahead of the upcoming FIFA window. But first, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. You can also head on over to our YouTube page and hit subscribe to never miss a new video, interview, or whenever we go live. Plus, you can catch great extended NWSL highlights. Head on over to youtube.com/attackingthird. Lisa, how are you doing today?
Sandra, I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually feeling, my body feels horrible right now. I've started playing adult soccer league again, which is a blast. It's so much fun. I actually play with Marissa Pilla, who is the sideline reporter for the NWSL. Woop woop, Philly gang going strong. And I just went a little too hard this week in our match. I have a giant ball mark on my leg. My other knee is like really wobbly. I have a bad knee and it's not good. It's needless to say, my body is not 21 anymore. I forgot that when I just went so hard in this match. But other than that, like my brain is feeling good, but my body is a little sore. I've been icing on and off all day just to try to get back to walking. It's a mess. Oh my goodness. Sandra, I'm old.
There's something about the brain, right? When you get into those moments again, switches. It's like riding a bicycle. It's just like, you never forget. So the fact that you like jumped into go mode is unshocking to me for sure, but I hope you feel better soon.
Yes. I mean, my brain knows what it needs to do to like get to the ball, to make the passes, but my body can't physically do it at that level anymore. So there's a bit of a learning curve from brain to body for me on the pitch, but how are you?
I'm doing all right. I feel like the Wednesday slate of games that we are going to recap almost sort of felt like a roller coaster for me. So while I'm not like feeling it from rec soccer league, I am feeling it from like trying to pay attention to so many games at once and trying to keep track of all the discourse around some of the officiating this weekend. We're going to get into all of that for our listeners right now. Let's dive right in because we got to do a recap. And we got to do a preview and we're going to chat a little bit before we do all that. I think it's a really good idea to talk a little bit about some news before we jump into all this, where there's a relocation of the NWSL Championship Final. It was initially announced in September that the NWSL Championship Final taking place on November 20th was going to be in Portland, hosted by Providence Park. But recently it was announced that in collaboration with the Players Association, that was recently moved to accommodate a much better kickoff time for players who will be participating in the championship final. So instead of having a 9 a.m. kickoff time and having to prep for a 9 a.m. match, players will now be preparing for a noon Eastern kickoff time in Louisville. Lisa, what were some of your reactions when you heard the switch?
I was honestly a little surprised. I didn't expect the league to change the location, although I'm so happy that they did, purely for the kickoff time. Of course, I think it was Ashlyn Harris, goalkeeper for Orlando Pride. I believe it was her that said in a statement in post-match that although Portland is a huge soccer city, they understand how to host an event at this large scale. And Portland clinched the playoffs, so that's looking pretty good for them. Although all of those things, the 9 a.m. kickoff is just a huge con against all of those pros that outweigh it. So starting at 9 a.m. is really not fair for these players. So the fact that it's now a 12 o'clock noon kickoff is so much better. And Louisville Lynn Family Stadium is an incredible facility. It's beautiful. They can accommodate this. I think it's really good for the city of Louisville too, to have an influx of fans coming in and players coming in. And this is, I think this will be a pretty big test for Racing Louisville as a club, because they're out of the playoffs. So if they can host this event, which I know they can, and if they can make it really successful, which I know they can, I have a lot of faith and belief in them, but this will look really good for the future of the club, for Racing Louisville. So I was a little surprised at the news, but just because I didn't expect it. But I'm super happy for it. Honestly, this is, it's good for everyone involved. What about you? What was your reaction?
Yeah, similar. I mean, I think at this point, with the timing of it, I think because it's gearing so close. I mean, we're in October, two playoff spots have already been clinched, you know, by teams. There's four still up for grabs. So you're like, you know, is this even a possibility? And it turns out it was, and it's a possibility because Louisville essentially is stepping up to be those, you know, to be the franchise to say, hey, like we believe in ourselves. We believe that we have the capabilities and the facilities to put on this type of event. And we will do this, you know, in the best interest of the players. And, you know, Lynn Family Stadium, we've seen it all year. It's a really great facility. We've heard that directly from the players themselves who represent Racing, visiting teams who have gone in there to play against them. It's not an easy place to play in if you're the opposition. And those are the environments that these players are looking for, you know. So 15,000 people max, you know, capacity. It could be a really good soccer crowd for a big event like that. And obviously a big thing too is the grass that's coming into play. So the kickoff time, the later kickoff time, the grass for players and their bodies, you know, they're feeling more comfortable with that. So I think there's way more pros in this one than cons.
And I think the biggest thing is that the NWSL Players Association, the players are the ones that pushed for this change. And the league listened and the league reacted and responded positively to those requests of players saying, we cannot play at 9 a.m. for a championship match in this league. Please move it. Please help us out and change it. So kudos to the players for making their voice be heard, which is something that we've been echoing over the last few weeks, Sandra, but this was all the players doing, and great job by them. They wanted change and they're getting it little by little.
For sure. November 20th is the NWSL Championship Final. It will still be kicking off at noon Eastern time, and everybody can tune in on that on big network TV, CBS. So stay tuned as that gets closer. I'm sure we'll be hyping that up even more, but let's get into what is this playoff push. We still don't know who's going to be in these final top six. We have two teams that have clinched already in the Thorns and OL Reign, and there's spots three through all the way through six being determined by a very narrow table that's been pretty narrow all year round. This first match kicked things off in this Wednesday slate of games was North Carolina Courage hosting Washington Spirit. Washington Spirit coming away with the 2-1 win this week on the road against North Carolina. Trinity Rodman, Julia Rodar getting the goals for Washington Spirit. Meredith Speck making things interesting with a goal for North Carolina Courage. Lisa, let's just start with the picks. Ooh. I think you and I were feeling pretty good once we saw that this was a win. We were like, yes, we both chose Spirit in this one. It's feeling good for Lisa and Sandra this week.
We're winning right now. We're on the winning side of things right now, Sandra. Yes, it was fun to watch this one. I actually really liked this match. Washington takes the head-to-head against Courage now. They move into third place in the standings, which that's what it was. It was a fight for third for Washington. And this was really, really good for Washington Spirit. I think Aubrey Bledsoe had a lights out game. She looked fantastic on the pitch. She saved a few that were probably going in. Before we give too much praise to Washington and everything they did, I want to say that North Carolina looked a lot better than they did on Sunday versus Houston. The defense was tighter. The attack had more weapons in it. When they got the ball, it was Lynn Williams and Jess McDonald. Go, 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 going. Jess McDonald. Whew, she had a game. She had a game, Sandra. She was really fun to watch. But so many of the times, I think when Courage got the ball and they were pushing in the attack, it was just Williams and McDonald pushing. And there was a huge gap between the midfield. Where's Davinia? Where's Speck? Where's Denise O'Sullivan pushing up and kind of closing that gap to pick up any scraps that come out? And maybe Lynn Williams and Jess McDonald are just too fast for the midfielders of North Carolina Courage. But I need to see more support from the midfield behind the forwards. But I want to kind of get into this one. The first goal for Trinity Rodman for Washington Spirit was actually awarded an own goal off Abby Irsegg, Carolina defender, which is rough because I thought this was a really nice shot by Trinity Rodman. It looked like it was going to go in no matter what, but it took the deflection. So it's awarded an own goal, but I wanted to give that one to Trinity Rodman. I did. What did you think?
We'll see if it's still getting reviewed. I know there's a lot of different angles to take a look at sometimes when it comes to the camera work that takes place during some of these NWSL productions of the matches. So perhaps it's getting reviewed and double checked. As of right now, on the league's standings and the league stats, it is credited to Trinity Rodman. So who knows? I know during the call, it sort of looked like it took the deflection and kind of went in. I would love for it to stay that way, but I'm sure something like this will probably be reviewed and double checked. But if it does stand for Trinity Rodman as it does on the site right now, I mean, it's just another credit to this player just having this phenomenal rookie season for the Washington Spirit. She's absolutely integrated herself in this Washington Spirit side as a constant threat, as really a staple for, you know, rolling out their starting 11s. Mm-hmm. And when she's not on the pitch, it's becoming noticeable. When she's not on the pitch, it's like, where's Trinity Rodman? Or it's like, oh, well, you know what, the Spirit game can use a little bit more of, it could use a little bit more of Trinity Rodman. And she dealt with some minor, you know, back issues and, you know, picking up a couple knocks here and there throughout the earlier to middle part of the season. But sort of seeing her being able to get more regular starts, being a part of that really dynamic attack alongside Sanchez and alongside Hatch has really paid dividends for the Spirit team this year. And this particular matchup this year with Spirit and Courage has been so entertaining to watch. It's been very, very impressive matches between these two sides when they've gone head to head, and to see the younger team and the Spirit sort of go ahead and sort of take the head-to-head and be able to, you know, kind of steal that if their tiebreaker does come into play, because it might, because the table is so narrow. Again, it's a storyline that I think the Spirit fans, you know, will probably want to look back on as a silver lining and take with them, because, you know, this franchise, as we know, has been going through a lot on and off the pitch. Mm-hmm. And like similarly with North Carolina. So having these sort of these soccer based related things that you could maybe find a little bit of joy in, that might be one of them. This young team going up against this really experienced side, getting the regular series, you know, against them in the regular season, and having such a young core in place, go out and do that. So kudos to them on picking up the win.
And really looking like a complete team from goalkeeper Bledsoe all the way to Rodman and Hatch, Sanchez up top, like drawing fouls. It's a complete unit. It's a complete 11 players on the field. And I think that the community that they've established amongst themselves and the family off the field, based on everything that's happening with the Spirit this year, has really helped them on the field just be in this together. They are one entity as a team. They want to play for their teammates on either side of them. And I think it shows for Washington. And Julia Rotter getting a goal in this match. Pretty good one too. Honestly, I think it wasn't struck that well. It wasn't struck that hard, but it was kept down low through the mix of players. And that's what you have to do on a shot like that. You're not going to send a ball through traffic that's got incredible bend on it. You just have to keep it low and put it in the mix. And Casey Murphy couldn't grab that one. I think that was a pretty fun goal too. I like this game because it was scrappy and had lots of back and forth and had the energy and the quick transitions. It was a nice start to the Wednesday midweek matches.
It absolutely set the scene for sure. And we got another good one that we got to get into right now. Kansas City NWSL versus Houston Dash. Oh my goodness, what an event. Kansas City picking up the event. Picking up that win, Kansas City 3-1 over Houston Dash. I am like looking at the scoreline. I'm looking at the players who scored the goals right now. Darian Jenkins kicking things off. Elizabeth Ball. Lola Vanta picking up goals in this one for Kansas City. Lisa, you picked Kansas City. You get the picks in this one. I went with Houston Dash. Not able to get this win. I just thought maybe they were going to grab it, and it just didn't happen. But I don't know if this was, you can fact check me on this, Lisa, and anyone else can fact check me on this too. I'm not too, I think this is the first time that Kansas City got a 3-0 win in the regular season. But maybe not so surprising in this one, Lisa, is that they had another great performance at home. It is their sixth consecutive result that they picked up in Kansas City. It is something about playing this team in their hometown that it's a struggle to play against them, whether you're looking at a table standings or not, a last place standing or not. This team has made it that when you go into Kansas City, they are going to make it difficult to play against them. And they had themselves a little bit of a statement game to sort of maybe close out their season. I think I love this role that it looks like this team is embracing right now, where they're like, you know what? That table is clogged. We are out of it. We are trying to play for next year. We want to end this season on a high, swing the momentum in our favor going into 2022. And they are taking points off of top tier playoff push level teams. And it is such a joy to watch right now. Lisa, what were some of your takes out of this game?
It is such a joy. I just did a little bit of research for you, Sandra. Yeah, does look like this is the first time Kansas City has scored three goals in a singular match, but they have had three or more goals scored against them at least three times throughout this season. So they know what it tastes like to be on the other end of that, conceding all of those goals. And if anyone didn't hear Sandra at the start of this recap, I picked Kansas City to win. I won this matchup. Sandra picked Houston, and I'm so proud of Kansas City. Like you said, they're out of the playoff race, but they want to impact things. They want to throw grenades into the standings, into where everyone's bunched up, and just explode things for other teams, make it difficult. They can impose their game on a team like Houston. And I think factor being that this was played at Kansas City's home, Legends Field. But the team that has nothing to lose, they tend to play a little more heart, a little more blue collar, if you will, just connecting things, putting things together, because you have nothing really to lose. The head-to-head is tied between Kansas City and Houston, which probably won't play a factor considering Kansas City's at the bottom of the standings and already out, but goal differential, this is pretty big for Houston. And KC just spoiling Houston's day. We have to give two claps to Darian Jenkins and that first goal that she had. Holy cow, what a strike from Jenkins. The corner of the 18, she got her head up. She did this about two matches ago against Washington. She had a beautiful, beautiful ball. This is the forward that that needs to be in the NWSL and needs to be contributing. She's a young one, but man, she has a lot going for her. This shot was just beautiful. I think AD Franch was such a great grab for Kansas City. Kiki Pickett, another really young player for Kansas City that had a fantastic game. She had a shot off the crossbar, a few off the crossbar. I think Addie McCain had another brilliant bullet that went off the crossbar. Crossbars were the name of the game in a lot of these matches on Wednesday evening. But at the half, Kansas City was up 2-0. And I was a little nervous for them going into halftime because Houston is a team with a leader like Rachel Daly that can really put fire underneath people, especially at a half when 2-0 is a really dangerous scoreline. But coming out in the second half, Houston put on pressure, Kansas City able to hold it off. PK, this was our first penalty kick we saw of the evening. A foul called against Jane Campbell. Jessica Silva drawing this one. This one was a penalty kick. I'm going to come right out and say that. Jane Campbell didn't get the ball. She took out Silva's legs because we have had some questions for our referees. Sandra, you agree it was the PK, this one?
Listen, you make that kind of contact in the box. Yes, yeah. The goalkeeper is the last line of defense, but that's still a foul when you're taking out the players, when you didn't get the ball and you're taking out the player's feet or running them. You know, just Jessica Silva with the awareness and presence of mind to say this is happening and actually making that full stretch leap. I love to see it. I need to see more of that in the women's game, honestly.
It's smart. That's smart soccer from Silva. Yeah. That's really smart.
Some people might call it exaggeration or some people might call it a flop. We don't call it that.
She was falling no matter what. She was falling no matter what. And that's the smart of her to say, you know what, I'm going to
make sure you see that I'm falling.
Lean into this foul and go for it, because it needed to be called no matter what. Even if she still stumbled and kept going, she probably wasn't going to score from that angle. So,
and you know who else knew it was a foul? Jane Campbell knew that was a foul, because the reaction from this, one of the best goalkeepers, probably top five goalkeeper in the league, has the reaction where it's like, yeah, that just happened. I got to get into my position and prepare for the next thing that's going to happen.
Yes. So, which is so true. That's when you know, when the person that commits the foul is like, yep, my bad. And Lola Bonta stepping up to knock this one in the stoppage time for Kansas City. Lola Bonta, she gets married. She scores a penalty kick. Her team gets a 3-0 win. That girl, go buy a lottery ticket. You are on fire right now. Have a great week, Lola Bonta.
Big week for Labonta. Congrats to her on the recent wedding and the recent marriage. We love to celebrate that type of stuff here. Anytime there's a second to celebrate some joy, we're going to do it. So shout out to her, and hope she's riding the wave of that really, really big week. And it's another big result for this Kansas City side. And Houston knocks them a little bit, you know, in the standings, you know, but just slightly. And we'll get more into that as we close out the episode, in terms of where everyone kind of shook out after all of these games. But the third match taking place in this Wednesday slate of games was Chicago Red Stars hosting Orlando Pride. This was another one of those matches, Lisa, that we had sort of circled on our previews and sort of saying, there's a couple of games, there's a lot of games taking place all kind of at the same time on one day. If there's a few games that you have to check out, here's a couple that we're going to be keeping a heavy eye on. And we said that it was going to be these next two games that we're going to get into. So Chicago Red Stars versus Orlando Pride. Chicago walking away with the win in this one, a narrow win, 1-0 over Orlando Pride. There weren't a lot of goals in this one, Lisa.
You had that in our picks. You picked Chicago. I picked Orlando. I'm just going to come out and say it. All right, continue with your analysis.
You know, there is absolutely zero hateration up on this podcast when we go through our picks. Look at you, just giving me that dub right off the bat. But there weren't a lot of goals in this one, Lisa, but there might have been a lot of drama when it comes to the discourse around some of the officiating in this one. But Chicago making things happen pretty early in this one, and that's putting it kindly. We talked a little bit about this in our preview, Lisa, that we were just both sort of kind of felt that, you know, maybe this isn't really going to come down to the midfield for either of these teams going into a match like this, that maybe we're going to have to see some type of play coming from the attacking lines, whether it was, you know, this continuing evolving chemistry with Watt and Pugh on one side, and then the return of Alex Morgan to form and Sydney LaRue for Orlando Pride. But Chicago making a statement pretty early, and these waves of attack coming very early end up paying off with Kalia Watt winning a corner kick, and then that piece played in, and then she ends up getting a goal off of this one in the 6 minutes, sneaks one and a kind of a cheeky angle really past Ashton Harris, and they have the early lead in this game, and it sort of kind of continues that way a little bit back and forth for these two sides in this first half in particular. And it got a little physical at times, Lisa. There was some hearty booing taking place on a Wednesday night in Bridgeview. I was covering this game locally and in person, so sort of taking in the sights and the sounds of this was, again, a little bit delightful. I was like, wow, there's just something about fans in a stadium and taking all this in. But there were a number of times where the officiating was hearing it in this match. There was a particular moment that happened in the 31st minute, and then there was, of course, a penalty that was eventually awarded to Orlando in the 43rd minute that ended up going their way, and Alex Morgan tried to step up and take this penalty, but missed wide. So, you know, we were talking about a very
The fact that you said Alex Morgan tried to take this penalty kick was just worded so perfectly.
Well, listen. Alex Morgan, she's having herself a couple of weeks here. The entire league has been going through it. The players in this league, the fact that they are getting up and going out and playing games of soccer while everything has been happening is a real testament to how they are built as human beings, quite frankly. We continue to see the player demonstrations taking place throughout all of these matches. They look similar, but they're taking place a little bit differently now. They're taking place at kickoff versus mm-hmm. in the sixth minute. So the coming together, standing in solidarity in a full circle at the center circle of the pitch is happening at kickoff versus the sixth minute now. And, you know, there's a lot of emotions that are taking place. And for somebody like Alex Morgan, who was heavily involved in the recent reporting to help sort of be this supportive person in the story of Sinead Farley and the story of Manishim, that's big. So I say that because you also have somebody like Martha on Orlando Pride. So,
yeah.
If there are things that are like that you think might impact, you know, your ability to kind of perform in like a high pressure or like high tense situation, you know, why wouldn't you, you know, maybe have those conversations and say, this is going to be our person taking the yes. penalty kicks, you know, going forward. So I imagine that those type of conversations already happen prior to your match day. So, you know, if Alex Morgan was coming out of trainings and saying, hey, if we get a penalty kick, I'm taking it, and the team was good with it. Hey, that's what they ended up rolling with.
And there's also moments between whistle, penalty kick called, and actual lining up over the ball where she could turn to her teammates and say, I want to take this. I can do that. Those are moments where if you think as a player, you're having a great match, you're in your rhythm, you're striking the ball really cleanly, especially as a forward, or if you already have a goal or two in the match, which not Alex Morgan's case, but you can turn to your teammates and say, I want this one. And your teammates usually have your back, especially if you say it with enough confidence and conviction. I wasn't privy to any of those conversations. I don't know what happened, but, I probably would have given it to Marta. I'm just saying.
You gotta wonder. I mean, she steps up to take this penalty kick, and the crowd is a home crowd for Chicago, and they're not making it easy. There was a lot of swarming of boos and things like that, trying to make it hard for the player to do this. So it goes wide, and it still ends up being the lead for Chicago. And this happens right before halftime. So you wonder if like, this is a real opportunity for this Orlando Pride team to sort of level things out and maybe mm-hmm. kind of hit the reset button for the second half to perhaps go a different way. And it just doesn't, but let's narrow in a little bit on some of this like first half controversy when it comes to the lack of calls or the questioning of calls. Before Lisa, I was there at this game. So me being the local reporter, I was designated the pool reporter for this match. And for people who don't know, the pool reporter is
the. Are you saying pull, P-U-L-L?
No, P-O-O-L. So swimming.
There we go.
So as the pool reporter, there's a.
It's the Chicago accent. We just got to clarify.
Thanks, buddy. So pro referee, allows, I think it's three questions, in reference to the game. So calls, or if reporters or media would like extended information or any more insight to perhaps certain moments of the games for calls that were made, not made, whatever, they open themselves up to being asked those questions. So when you are at a game, if you are a member of the local media, like privileged enough to actually go and cover, in NWSL games, there's typically a designated pool reporter in these moments. So for this match, it was myself. And so I submitted a couple questions to a pro referee just to see if there was any extra elaboration or anything that they would like to give for some of the calls. So one of the questions was, what did the officials see during the 31st minute between Kalia Watt and Amy Turner as the two players went down in the penalty area? And the second question was, you know, what was the reason for the penalty in the 43rd minute, and what was the reason for the yellow issued to Watt? And so the following answers that I was given was, you know, number one, In the 31st minute, I saw shoulder to shoulder contact and no offense. And the second answer is the penalty in the 43rd minute was for tripping, and the caution that was issued to number two was for dissent. So that's not too surprising. When the yellow was issued to Watt in that moment, the penalty is issued, and it comes off of some contact, of some bumping that's taking place between Sidney LaRue and Casey Kruger. And the first player over there to contest this penalty is Kalia Watt. So you see the jawing kind of happening and the yellow that's issued. Further yellows are extended. Chicago's bench players actually received
yellow
in this match. It was like, wow, it's like this game has everything, you know. It's got a goal, it's got a banger in the early minutes, it's got yellows and it's got officiating controversies. There's a penalty kick that was awarded, one that wasn't. So it was like truly something to witness on this day. And this was all just in the 45 minutes, but that turns out that's all that Chicago needed. They had a lot. That's ultimately what this game was, Lisa. There was a lot of great movement, a lot of strong attack from Chicago. They left a lot of chances on the table, and they ended up having to rely on some really organized defensive moments to just sort of close this thing out. And Cassie Miller had to come up huge for the Chicago Red Stars team in net for them down the stretch. And she did. And things just ended up kind of working out that way, in which Chicago took this win. And there's a one game remaining between these two teams in the next couple of weeks.
Yes, this match was a good one. A little questionable calls, I'm going to say. I want to throw my thoughts out there. The first one between Watt and Riley, I believe it was, in the box, that did not get called. The first one you questioned in the 31st minute. Shoulder to shoulder, they're both going for the ball, but Riley gets her leg around Watt and kind of takes her out as last defender. I'm so sorry. Amy Turner. Yes. Amy Turner, and gets her leg around Watt and she takes her out. I think that was a missed call. Does get a touch of the ball, but she takes out Watt. And then at the other end with Casey Kruger and Sidney LaRue, yes, it's a foul. It's a little soft. There's not much of a shove there. And if we gave a lot of credit to Jessica Silva for diving in the KC game, or not diving, but recognizing that she's going to get fouled and making it exaggerated, you got to give the credit to Sidney LaRue in this situation, because it's really similar. There's contact. You're in the box. If you get a little bit off balance, lean into that as a forward, and you may get the call or you may not get the call in Watt's turn. But interesting, this, I want to say one thing for the people in the back, for the people that keep forgetting, Watt is really fast. She doesn't look fast. And then she starts running and she surprises me so pleasantly every single time. I'm like, yes, girl, you're so fast. She gets around Allie Krieger a number of times, like push to the one side, run around the other. But this match was pretty good. A really good win for Chicago. It's tied 1-1 right now. They face off again October 29th. A lot of questionable calls, but that's a big mistake for Alex Morgan and for Orlando to miss that penalty kick. I think that would have changed the game heading into the half completely.
Yeah, for sure. I think it would have been a different 45 for both of them, for both of these teams, if they're walking into the locker room all leveled up on that type of stuff. But good. Quite an entertaining match for sure. Let's get to the final one in this Wednesday slate of games. It was Portland Thorns versus OL Reign. We were hyped on this one, Lisa. It was the final version of the regular season meeting for the Cascadia rivalry. These two Pacific Northwest rivals going head to head with really not a playoff perspective type of thing on the line, but there is an NWSL shield that is still up for grabs with these final weeks remaining. Nobody has clinched it yet. And it really is this sort of head to head battle right now with Portland Thorns FC and OL Reign, based on the number of games left. Gotham FC is a bit of a long shot to potentially shock the league and possibly run away with the shield themselves. They would need to win all four of their remaining matches and need OL Reign and Portland Thorns to drop some more of theirs. So we'll see what happens here. So with this match, I know a lot of people had their eyes on it as it being the final regular season match for these two teams. There's the long history of the rivalry there. As of this season, you know, All Reign walking away with the head-to-head already having those two wins, and just the 1 point separating these two mm-hmm. teams at the time of kickoff. But we ended up watching these two sides play out to a 1-1 draw. And similar to the game that we just talked about, there was a really early moment for this Portland Thorns side to really kind of come out and maybe set the tone a little bit for this match taking place in their home field, where it was a delightful link up between, you know, the young attacking core for the Thorns. And Morgan Weaver gets on the scoreboard really, really early. We're talking 3 minutes into this match, and lovely link up with Smith and Weaver, and they get the early lead. But again, it's a long stretch of time, and we do not see this Portland Thorns side able to capitalize on this really good attack that they were presenting throughout this first half against OL Reign. It was a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to say maybe snake bit, but mm-hmm. getting a lot of good looks and just not having the finishing, and going into halftime only up the one goal, when perhaps they could have been up a few more.
They could have, and they probably should have been. Sophia Smith is fantastic. She is really fun to watch, getting assists, creating chances, her movement. The opening goal from Morgan Weaver was just what Portland needed. And Sandra, we found out after we recorded our preview for these matches that Megan Rapinoe was off the injury report list, and she would be playing for OL Reign. And I know we both picked Portland for this match, and it was a tie, so we both lose. But we knew that Megan Rapinoe, right before this game was happening, was going to be back playing for OL Reign. That didn't change anything for me. I still thought Portland was going to come out on top and win this one. And when Weaver scored in the third minute, I was like, yep, all right, there we go. Let me go get some tea. I'm just going to hang out, because this game, Portland has it in the bag. They're going to keep going. Not the case at all. I think Rose Lavelle had a really nice match for OL Reign. They had a lot of good chances. I think Lindsay Horan for Portland Thorns is getting better every single week. And that's something for a player like Horan, who is at the top of her game, who just came off an Olympics, who has been at the top of her game for some time now, to continuously be getting better is really, really impressive. And that shows a lot about the character of Lindsay Horan, that she is taking each day and each training and each game as an opportunity to elevate herself. Her touches on the ball, her vision of the field, really impressive to watch. This one also had potentially a controversial call in this one. We had our third penalty kick of the night. It was called against Angela Salem. Danny Weatherall for OL Reign took a shot off. It was a corner kick, scrum in the box for OL Reign on their corner kick that was happening. It tries to get cleared out. It ends up at the feet of Weatherall, who rips a shot, and Angela Salem running out from her goal, trying to close down the space, gets hit in the arm, in the body, I'm going to say. So her arms were across her chest, almost in an X, or hugging herself as a body as she's running out to close down the space for Weatherall, and the ball hits off her arms. It's called a handball in the box, penalty kick. Megan Rapinoe buries it in the 85th minute or so. So for a late goal for OL Reign. They immediately grab the ball and they start to go again. OL Reign at that point was like, we got to win this match. Sandra, yeah. Was it a handball?
I don't think it was a handball. I think by definition of the rule, just sort of having and then seeing what happened and what, you know, yes, of course, like there are moments where you slow things down and that's a bit of an advantage. The officials in real time have to make the call as they see it. Mm-hmm. And on this night, they saw that it was a handball, but when you're like, you're going back on the footage and you're stopping it at like, you know, 0.1 slow pace and frame by frame, you're starting to see how things play out. I think it was a call, and the referee was in a position to make the call. And at this moment, give the advantage to the defender, in the sense where, you know, what is a defender doing that moment if you're not tucking your arms in a sense to protect you know, yourself in an effort to not try to extend your limbs and, you know, really do get dinged or pegged with the handball. So it was, a really, really tough moment for that Thorns team to sort of have to kind of have that, you know, the extra points snatched away a little bit. And give a little bit of credit to Oil Rain. I mean, probably zeroing in on the final 12 minutes or mm-hmm. so of this match, watching the substitutions take place on both sides of the pitch, particularly for Laura Harvey. You know, at this point in the game, having somebody like a Megan Rapinoe involved in the game, having somebody like an Allie Watt coming in and getting more minutes with this Oil Rain team, just being able to just run down and run at a team. Angelina coming, you know, and having the impact that she did. They were really kind of bringing it during these final 12 minutes. There was a long stretch of time there where Portland had to find themselves in positions to defend away. So to kind of have this moment occur and sort of not have that control of the game mm-hmm. anymore, kind of have that in control of the officiating hands, I imagine is incredibly, incredibly frustrating. And once you're level in this type of game, in this type of rivalry with 5 minutes plus stoppage time left, that can feel like an eternity, you know? Yes. So it's like, we got to see like a little bit of madness, I think sort of close out this match, but it ultimately ended up just being a draw. Lisa and neither of us were able to close out these picks with a win. So you and I are just one, we've got one.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the call against Salem and the handball was rough. It's no handball in my eyes. Of course, things are happening quick. There's no VAR. The refs have to take a look at that in the moment and decide. The ref was actually in pretty good positioning to see it if you watch on the replays. But the new rules this year, or the rules this year, we actually, the league had set up a meeting for the broadcasters, myself being one of them, and pro referees, which is the referee group and organization that officiates the NWSL matches. And they took us through a slideshow of what is considered a handball and what is not, because as analysts and broadcasters, I need to know what they're calling on the field so I can tell you that over the broadcast. I don't think that was a handball, especially according to their slideshow that they showed us a few weeks ago. One of the common phrases that pro referees use is making your body unnaturally bigger. So if your arms are by your side, your body's a little wider. If your arm is straight out, your body is longer. If your arms are in front of your chest and the ball hits you in the chest, your body's not really getting unnaturally bigger. It was still going to hit you, probably just hurt Salem a little less because her arms took most of the blow, but we'll see what happens. Sometimes teams appeal calls and do things. There's no card in that matter, so not much that Portland can do in that case, but definitely a spicy night in the NWSL on Wednesday evening for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, shout out to all the Thorns media and the call for the post game on this one. Mark Parsons and his media availability referring to the coaching B license course that Salem is in and said that in post game, Salem literally learned the handball rule as well. So like, it's just sort of funny connecting these things together where you're talking about the broadcast team sort of being given a bit of a slideshow from pro referee and learning these things and Salem alluding to something similar. We're learning about the rule in her B license course and then having it play out the way that it did in this match. It's a really unfortunate, and it's also really unfortunate because this was the final regular season match between these two teams. So the only other time that we could potentially see another head to head for these two teams could possibly be in the playoffs now, because this has been put to rest. Let's take a quick break. We will fill everyone in on standings. We will fill everyone in on the preview of next weekend or this coming up weekend's games. And we will do that right after a quick break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
We're back, everybody, and we have to preview five NWSL matches for you all. There's only a few weeks remaining in this regular season. It's hard to believe it's coming down to a close. And there are five games to take place Saturday and Sunday this weekend. Let's start with this first one, Lisa. We're going to hit everybody with our picks. We've got Racing Louisville FC hosting Orlando Pride in this one. Orlando struggling, Lisa. They have yet to pick up a win in quite some time. They have fallen out of playoff position. They are absolutely in a place now where they cannot afford to drop points. They're in a place where they cannot afford to lose any longer. Looking at this Orlando Pride team that had spent so long in playoff position to now sort of kind of flounder in these final remaining weeks, it's a tough position to be in. And now they're on the road against the Racing Louisville side that's got nothing to lose. They got to get a win, Lisa. Who are you picking in this one and why?
They do. The Orlando is winless in their last three. Their last win actually came September 11th against Racing Louisville. It was 3-1. And the first time Louisville and Orlando met in early July, it was tied 1-1. So this is for the head-to-head between these two squads. I want to give it to Orlando. I just want them to win because they're on such a losing streak. Alex Morgan getting missing the penalty kick, getting unlucky with that one in the Wednesday matchup. I want Orlando to get back on their winning ways because I like Becky Burley as a coach. We've talked about how aggressive this team can be. Can they throw a little fire towards Racing Louisville's way and come out with the win? So I'm going Pride on this one. Sandra?
You know, I think they got a tough, a tall order ahead of them. They're coming off of a short rest this week, Orlando Pride. Racing Louisville is one of the teams that did not participate in the midweek matches. They're on the road. So not only do they have the quick turnaround, they're having the traveling on the road as well. I'm not too sure if Orlando walks away with a win in this one. I actually think this might be a draw. I think I'm going to start off my picks with a draw in this one. I want to see Louisville maybe kind of take on a little bit of that persona that Kansas City is doing right now, where they're trying to pick up these wins, where they're trying to be this team that makes it incredibly difficult to play on their home turf. But Orlando Pride has come into Louisville before and kind of shaken things up. So we'll see what happens. And I think it might be a little bit of desperation play on Orlando's part and a little bit of maybe frantic play on Louisville that kind of might even things out. And I think this one actually might be a draw. Let's roll on into Chicago Red Stars versus Kansas City. Another game that we're looking at for quick turnarounds for both of these teams. But this time, Kansas City find themselves on the road. They're heading over to Bridgeview, Illinois to take on Chicago Red Stars. Lisa, you already know where I'm going to go on this one. I'm going to go Chicago Red Stars. I'm picking them to win this game. They have a good record against Kansas City at Bridgeview. Last time they played against Kansas City, they put up several goals on them. And even though it's a quick turnaround for both of these teams, might going to give a little bit of advantage to the home side, having the extra rest and or not extra rest, but less travel on them at this point on the quick turnaround. How about you?
Travel definitely plays a factor into this. In Kansas City, having to make their way after being home back to back, they've had a lot of rest. They are coming back a big 3-0 win over Houston. That win does a lot. I think the offense is really clicking for Kansas City. Defensively, they've had much more confidence, especially with AD Franch in goal behind Kansas City's defenders. Just organizationally, Franch has done tremendous things. Sandra, I'm going to go with you on this one. I think Chicago is going to get the win in this matchup, which not too bad. They played last time they played, it was 3-0 in late August. Chicago got the win in that one. And Chicago's offense is just on something. And Watt's really fast. So I'm excited to see her just run at KC defenders. I'm not going to stop saying that because sometimes I forget. She's really fast. So yeah, I'll give this one to Chicago.
All right, let's roll. Let's roll on. We've got OL Reign hosting Washington Spirit. I can't wait to take a look at this game. I feel like it's going to be a really, really fun game. We've got two teams. It's number two and number three, right? We'll get into these standings for everybody soon, but it's going to be billed as a big, big game. And I think that OL Reign, you know, they want to build off of what they were doing against Portland Thorn. I'm going to be going with the Reign in this one, despite the really good, consistent play that we've been seeing in the attack from the Spirit. I just think that the Reign have been doing something very, very special down this final stretch of the season. And I think being at home is something that plays very much into their advantage when they kind of go up against opposition. And I think they're going to walk away with a win in this one. How about you, Lisa?
OL Reign on a definite hot streak, despite the tie against Portland. They're undefeated in their last eight matches. Washington undefeated in their last four. Washington's last loss actually came to OL Reign early September. That game was a 3-0 loss for Washington. This one's tough. This one's really tough for me, is looking at the standings, looking at how these two squads face out. You picked OL Reign, right, Sandra?
I did.
I think I'm going to go with Chicago on this one. I think Trinity Rodman has shown a lot of what she can do. I think Hatch and Sanchez have contributed really well. I think Bledsoe, coming off a phenomenal game Wednesday evening in the league for those midweek matches. I think Washington can do this. They can put power to the powerhouse of OL Reign and prove them wrong. So I'm going to go with Washington Spirit on this one, but I think it'll be some goals. I think we're going to have some goals, maybe like 2-1 or 3-1, something right. like that.
I don't know. That's a quick turnaround and that's a long flight, but we'll see. I respect the energy in leaning into Washington Spirit. I think this is going to be a real, real treat of a match for people to take a look at. And I love that it's the final one of the triple header for Saturday, but let's get into Sunday, fun day. We got two matches, double header for this one to close out NWSL action for the weekend. It is going to be North Carolina Courage hosting New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Gotham FC finally making their return, similar to Racing Louisville. They weren't a team that participated in the midweek matches, but they're back in action this week. And we're talking about teams that are primed for a real playoff push. Gotham FC, one of those teams with multiple games in hand. They've got four remaining, while so many other teams in the league just really have about two and or three. But Gotham on the road in this one, I feel like this could also be a draw, but I don't want to pick another draw. I just have this thing where it's like at this point in the season, it's about results, and people and these players are playing to get those wins. So I really do think that the quick turnaround and the rest is going to be in favor of Gotham. And I just really think that having somebody like Margaret Purse back, having mm-hmm. somebody like Paige Monahack back, having these extra options in their arsenal, you know, Scott Parkinson and Bebianez know the team that they have and their ability to possibly go on a really strong run. And these next four games are going to be huge. And I think it's going to go in Gotham's favor. I think they're going to get the win.
I was leaning towards a draw on this one, and ultimately I wrote down Gotham's going to win on this one for me. The rest is huge. Gotham is coming off a big win over Orlando Pride the last time they played, but honestly, the rest is huge. North Carolina, they played on the 10th, then they played on the 13th, and then they play again on the 17th. That's really, really a quick turnaround. They also played on the 6th. So it was October 6th, October 10th, October 13th, October 17th, which a lot of these teams have done. However, North Carolina has lost those two against Houston 4-1 on the 10th, and then again against Washington 2-1 just on Wednesday of this week. So they've scored. They've been scoring goals, but it's not going to be enough. So I could see them getting one on this, in this one. Actually, I'm going to go draw on this one. That's fair. I changed my mind. I'm sorry. I'm flip-flopping.
I feel you.
I convinced myself. Yeah. Because I think that Courage is going to get a goal and Gotham will only score one. So 1-1, I'm giving scoreline predictions now, but I'm going to go a draw.
I like that. I like the draw and I like the scoreline in this one. Last one for Sunday, Houston Dash hosting Portland Thorns FC at BBVA Stadium. It's a big one. These two teams have really been building a kind of spicy rivalry a little bit between them over the last year or so. And they've been playing against each other when they go head to head very, very well. Houston Dash getting that recent win against Portland 3-2 on the road in Providence Park. I'm not too sure if that's going to echo the same thing in this one. Again, we're talking about two teams that are coming off quick turnarounds. Both kind of having a little bit of travel. Houston has to head on back home from Kansas City, mm-hmm. Portland having to make the travel to Texas themselves. So I'm not too sure if there's going to be a huge advantage in terms of the travel aspect or a potential fatigue on the bodies. So because of all those things coming into play, I hate to do it, but I'm going to end it the same way I started it. I think this one's going to end in a draw, Lisa. I've got Houston Dance and Portland Thorns in a draw for this one on Sunday. Who are you going with, or what are you picking and why?
I think the travel does almost even itself out and cancel out between these two squads. At Portland, they're not winning. They are winless in their last four matches, which is a lot for Portland Thorns. And Houston, they're on this build. They're on this climb. I think the loss for Houston against Kansas City stung a little this week. I think they're going to have a fire inside of them. Traveling from Kansas City now to Portland, it's a lot. It's a lot to go into Providence Park and to play against the Thorns there. I'm going to go Houston in this one. I want to see a Houston win over Portland. Shake up the standings a little bit, even though Houston continues to climb. At this one, I'm circling for the weekend, for Sunday especially. I'm really excited to watch Portland versus Houston, but I am going to give it to Houston.
All right, right on. I like that. I like that you're ending on a result. I went the way of the draw. Let's get through these standings for our listeners here, just so they can stay updated, and you can all hear and see how narrow things still are heading in to this weekend of matches. At number one, first place, Portland Thorns FC with 40 points. And second place is Ola Rain with 39 points. Washington Spirit in third place with 33 points. And fourth place is Houston Dash with 32 points. Fifth place, Chicago Red Stars, also with 32 points. And in sixth place, North Carolina Courage, also with 32 points. And the outside looking in at the moment is New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC with 29 points at seventh place. In eighth place is Orlando Pride with 28 points. In ninth place is Racing Louisville FC with 17 points. And in 10th place is Kansas City NWSL, but bumping up that points to 15. And that's how everything shakes out according to the standings ahead of this weekend's matches. I want to thank everyone for listening. As always, a quick reminder again that you can follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast show. If you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with a question, Lisa and I will answer as part of our mailbag segment. So head on over, leave us a 5-star review and a question, and we'll answer it on our mailbag segment. We are also available as a video, so please subscribe to us on YouTube. Head on over to youtube.com/attackingthird. Hit subscribe, and we will be back Monday with a recap of all of these matches. And you can catch them on Paramount Plus. Rochelle Herrera and Lisa Roman.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.